He is risen. Amen. How many know Jesus? This is a tall pulpit. I think I'm shrinking in my old age. Amen. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Y'all believe I'm about the same as I always was. That's why I never preach behind this thing. Can you imagine the angle? You could never see who was talking. All right. Now the reason I say it, Jesus is risen. Number one, because He is. Number two, is because when He was risen, how many know He didn't just immediately depart? But Jesus spent time with His disciples after He was risen. Amen? And this, during the year, would be that period of time. Of course, in our case, in our calendar, Resurrection Sunday jumps around. And as you may know, I tend to try to refer to Resurrection Sunday as Resurrection Sunday rather than Easter, because the word Easter is not a word from Christianity, but a word from paganism. And it doesn't really, even though the event has pretty well translated into our current Christian culture, I don't like using it, because the resurrection is what we celebrate. We don't celebrate Easter. We don't celebrate a pagan deity. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? So that's who we celebrate. Now, you know, you don't have to do that. It's no law, but you can. I'll encourage you to do it. I'll encourage you, when you talk about the resurrection, to express it as the resurrection. It also makes a Happy Easter is in fact even a cultural term these days. It's just another day to celebrate. Amen? Anybody notice that? Happy Easter. I mean, everybody celebrates. I mean, some of the big companies still get Good Friday off, you know. And so, but they don't know why. Hey, we get an extra day off. Glory to God. So, but what I would encourage you to do, it's a great icebreaker for being able to talk about the gospel. When you say, Happy Resurrection. Have a great resurrection weekend. Huh? I mean, you just may catch somebody slightly off guard. You want to have every opportunity. It's always good to make every opportunity in your normal conversation to make somebody trip up enough to ask you a question. What did you say? Amen? Isn't that true? Because that's who we are. That's the reason we're here. We're here for one reason, is to declare the gospel. That's why Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples after He was risen. He didn't just rise to get the job done and beat a path back to the Father's throne. He, in fact, spent 40 days. First of all, He spent 3.5 years. Then He spent 40 days imparting to the disciples the things of the kingdom of heaven. He began that testimony on the night of the Passover, on the night of the meal that they had together. He began that, if you'll remember, and you'll go back and read the 13th through the 17th chapters of John, as Jesus begins to prepare His disciples for the days ahead. He begins to prepare them for the time when He is no longer going to be there. How many know we're in that time? That we don't have Jesus here, you know, like I can go, you know, say hi to Chad and hug his neck, you know, and we don't have, Jesus is not here with us in that form. But He is here with us by the Spirit, and we know Him, and we speak to Him, and He speaks to us, and He is our Savior, He is our King, He is our Lord. We hear His voice. Amen? We see it in the book of Acts, time after time again, how the Lord is working with the apostles and the disciples and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence that the book of Acts provides for us, is it doesn't last forever. It lasts for a few years, but it's just enough to get you on the right path to know that you're going to be hearing the voice of God, that you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to see miracles take place. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed from the book of Acts. It's just got a lot more chapters now. Amen. Really, where can I read them? Well, look in the mirror. You can look in the mirror and you can read the chapter. Amen. You can back up and look into your history of your family. Amen. That's the book of Acts. It's where God began to do great and mighty works, and he has carried that on through today, and he has not stopped. Amen. There's nothing that stopped. The kingdom of heaven is not less than it was. The kingdom of heaven is now as much as it was in the days of Peter and Paul. Amen? Because it doesn't require incredible human beings. It requires a man be found faithful, that a woman be found faithful. Faithful to the gospel. Faithful to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you today that you have demonstrated to us by your word. You have left this word for us so that we may know and see and have testimony to continue to fulfill that which daily you give to us as we wake and as we hear your voice and as we meditate upon your promises and know that we have been born from above and that the power of the living God dwells on the inside of us, and through faith we see the power of God move miraculously to change lives and to cause people to become born again, born into heaven, born into a new life, life in Christ Jesus. And Father, that life not only begins, but it continues even in this body. We are transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Scriptures, which shows us these things. And Father, we ask you today to cause us to daily walk with this expectation and this hope, to know that what you began, you will finish in us personally, individually, until it is our day to enter into glory. And then our children and our grandchildren and our brothers and sisters carry on that same testimony until the day that Jesus returns. And we give you all the glory, the thanks, and the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Let's turn over to, first of all, the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the reason I turn there first is, that's not even in the gospel. Jesus is already gone. Jesus is already in heaven. But Luke talks to us about those days right before Jesus departed. And let's look here at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The former treatise, or the former writing, which is Luke's first book, the book of the Gospel of Luke. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. That's what we talked about. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, his death and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of him, of them, 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So with these 40 days, this is the only place actually, this is where we get the understanding and the knowledge that Jesus was among them for 40 days. It actually in the Gospels doesn't talk about how long he was there. But here Luke specifies it and says that he was here 40 days. And then of course, being added on top of that, we understand that after Jesus was taken up into heaven, there were how many days before the Holy Spirit fell? Anybody remember? 10. 10 days. 10 days and the day of Pentecost was come. The day of Pentecost is not what we call the Holy Spirit baptism. That's what the Jews called that particular feast, is the Feast of Pentecost. It was a harvest feast. And so, but the Feast of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost, so it was just basically as a time reference, a day reference, that's 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after the Lamb was slain for your sins, 50 days, then we celebrate. Then we celebrate. And that 50 days is when the Holy Spirit fell. And that'll be taking place sometime close to, I think we'll celebrate it on May the 8th, which is Shiloh's birthday, by the way. Praise the Lord. My granddaughter. So, but on May 8th, we'll be celebrating celebrating Pentecost, or the falling of the Holy Spirit. And we're excited because that's when the Holy Spirit came to empower you. It's because Jesus told us, said, don't go anywhere until the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave town. Amen. So, right there is your 40 days. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 24. I want to look at some of the events after, and we do this often, but it's good to, it's like Peter says, I'm going to remind you of these things until I'm dead, so that when I'm dead, you'll have these things always in your remembrance. It's important to have things in your remembrance. That's why Jesus gave you the communion, amen? Why? Remember me. Remember me. He gave you something very simple. Very simple, so that you can carry it with you wherever you go. Amen? God's into simple. You know, he doesn't mind big, but big and like, you know, big fancy, but he's really kind of into simple. He really kind of likes simple because simple is easy. You know, wherever two or three of you have gathered together in my name, there I am. It's simple. That's easy. I love that. That's so great. I like big worship. I like big things, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you don't have to have that. It's so powerful. You don't have to have that to have church. You don't have to have that. You just, you know, me and Dan can just get together and just rejoice and sing and give praise to God and not have any singing or any musicians or anything. Amen? It doesn't matter. You can grab somebody just to, you know, I mean, you see them. Go visit somebody for some other reason and just be on the front porch. If they're a believer, you're a believer. Take a moment to give praise to the Lord. Amen? Take a moment to give praise to God. Now, Acts 24, let's look at verse 13. And behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus. Let me read verse 12. Let me back up a little bit. This is the resurrection. Verse 12 of chapter 24 in Luke says, Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. And, verse 13, behold, two of them that same day went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. That's about 7.5 miles. That's a good little walk. 7.5. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, end of the block. You know, it's a good little walk. And they talked together of all of these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus? I thought we didn't know where he was. You remember he met Mary at the tomb. And then Peter went down to try to find him, and he wasn't there. But then all of a sudden, now he's with these two guys. So Jesus was still around. He still going from place to place. And here he meets up with these two brethren on their way to Emmaus. Now, of course, Jesus, you know, as we understand, also had to, it said to Mary, don't touch me. I'm going to ascend. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. And through the rest of an analysis of Scripture, that Jesus, we believe, need to make an appearance in the throne room to deliver the blood that he shed for our sins. And he arrived again because he said, don't touch me. But then it gets back down to the disciples and they're all touching him. So there's something happened in between. Because he said, don't touch me yet. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. So in some meantime, he must have ascended and come back again. Don't ask me to pick out the verse. I can't. So here he is back again, now walking along, and he joins up with these two brethren, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And Jesus himself drew near, verse 15, and went with them. But their eyes were holden, or darkened, so that they should not know him. And he said to them, "What manner of communication are these that you have to one another as you walk and are sad?" These guys were evidently depressed. This conversation wasn't a conversation of victory. This conversation was a conversation of what went wrong. What happened? We just knew. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, "Are you only a stranger in town and have not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" And he said, kind of drawing him out, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." This is kind of the last hope. He said, "I'm going to arise again, and here's the third day." And "But we trusted that it had been him who should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher." So they'd gotten word of this episode at the tomb. And then they found not his body. And they came and they said that they had also had a vision of angels and said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, in this little 7.5-mile journey, all the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Wow. Praise God. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. All of a sudden, can you imagine being in that room, enjoying fellowship, just fellowship? And the guy was encouraging. The guy was like, "Wow, this guy knows a lot. This guy's great, great teacher. We're having just a great time of fellowship. We're being encouraged," and all of a sudden, it's Jesus. And he reveals himself. Jesus can reveal himself. Amen? He can reveal himself no matter what your circumstance, wherever you are. He can reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself. Amen? Not just, you know, when you're depressed about the resurrection. But maybe you need something else to rise from the dead. Amen? Maybe you need some other encouragement. Jesus is showing up. What were they doing? Breaking bread. How powerful is that? I'm not saying have communion every afternoon just waiting for Jesus. But however, we have a testimony that Jesus shows up. When we remember him, he shows up. And verse 32 says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road And while he opened to us the scriptures, something, we knew something. Both of us. We never said anything, but both of us, we knew it. Maybe their eyes caught while they were walking along and just, you know, looking at each other. Who is this guy? And they rose up at the same hour. It was already late. You know, it was late. They'd already had dinner. The day is far spent. Come on, eat with us. They had the meal, then he broke bread, then he disappeared. So they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Another 7.5 miles. I don't know what time they got there. And found the 11 gathered together, 12 less Judas, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, or on their road trip, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. He showed up again as he was yet speaking. All of a sudden somebody just turns around and Jesus is among the crowd. You can have a body like that. Amen. You may just show up various kinds of places in the millennium. You know, while Jesus is reigning on the earth and you've got a new body. You may just be sent from one place to another and just pop in. Amen. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, verse 36, and he said, "Peace be to you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They were not used to this. They knew Jesus had died. They knew he had died and he had been buried. He was gone. And here he is. They thought he was a ghost. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Handle me. Handle me." So it wasn't spirit. They touched him. They hugged him. They put their arms around him. They loved him. He didn't say, "Don't touch me." He, "Come ahead." Jesus is alive. He's the first one with a resurrection body. Amen. He's the first one with a brand new body. First model. Amen. And there's no improvements. You're going to get one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says you're going to get a body like his. He doesn't need to be having improvements. That body is a body that's born of God. It's a human body, but an immortal body. A body that will never die, that will never age, that will never pass away. And you live for eternity. You live. There is no time. Time is gone. For Jesus, time is gone. He is back out of time. Not out of time, but he is not even in time. He has exited the realm of time and can show up whenever, wherever he needs. You're still there. We still got one of these, you know. We still got one of these bodies, but it's okay. He's already arranged for yours. Amen? You're all going to look like Jesus, even the girls. Hope he was handsome. Now you're going to look like you in a brand new body. They recognize Jesus. It's Jesus. They recognize Jesus. They'll recognize Chad. Yeah. Amen. He'll just be better looking. Praise the Lord. Some of you didn't know you could be any better looking. But you can be. When you start looking like Jesus, you're just beautiful. You're just wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to being 6 foot tall. I'll just be a 6 foot 6 tall version of me. You may not recognize me. Praise the Lord. And I won't be chubby anymore. Praise the Lord. Some of you won't be quite so skinny. Amen. You'll look good. All right. But they were terrified and affrighted. And Jesus says, behold, verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. It's me. It's me. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, got anything to eat? Do you have anything to eat? I mean, ghosts don't eat, right? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, or at least if a ghost ate something, he'd just put it in his mouth and fall on the floor. But it didn't work out that way. He said, do you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in front of them. And it didn't fall on the floor. He ate it. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and are in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And listen. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Wait. Everybody say wait. Amen. So they waited for 10 days in the city of Jerusalem, praying in the upper room, the 12 plus a lot more, 120. And 120, how many of the, it wasn't the 12 that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was 120. It's a very interesting notification, and I'm trying not to get off into the Pentecost week message. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not on the 12. Was it? I said, was it? Baptism in the Holy Spirit was on 120. Well, these things are only for the apostles. These things are only for the holy men. Nonsense. These things are the folks who believe. Mark said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They'll cast out devils. Actually, the first one is cast out devils. They'll cast out devils. Amen. See, all of these things. And it's the 120. It's not the 12. Praise the Lord. How many know you're part of the church? You're part of the ministry of the church. It's not just for pastors, amen, or prophets or evangelists or, you know, yeah, teachers and prophets and apostles. It's for you. He said, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Let's look at verse 19. Backing up a little bit, here we have the Mary and coming to the tomb, and she sees Jesus. Verse 17 says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. How powerful is that? See, he began to talk like that. If you remember in the book of Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus began to talk about the fact that when you pray to your Father, which is in heaven, go into your closet, pray to your Father, and your Father, which who hears in secret, will reward you openly. When he began to talk to the Jewish people about God being their Father, that was radical. That was radical. He was not just, you know, The Lord our God is one. This is your Father. So he says now here to Mary that I have said, tell my brethren and say to them, I go to my Father and they got that. And your Father. He's my Father. God is my Father. He's not just Jesus' Father, he's my Father. See? And to you, my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things, he had spoken these things to her. Now look at verse 19. Here's Jesus appearing. This is could be related to that same appearance that we talked about in Luke. Maybe he went down to Emmaus and John just picks him up coming in here that evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, first day of the week is what? Today, Sunday. First day of the week. He's risen the first day of the week, so this is the end of the day. This is when it's going to head for the next day, which is, Monday starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to work 6 o'clock Sunday night? Aren't you glad your calendar changed? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. You remember they talked about there back over at Luke. The doors were shut. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his side, which he did, in the previous reading. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The very first time he meets with his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. As my Father sent me, so send I you. I'm not going to go back to it, but if you'll go back and read from chapters 13 to 17 here in the book of John, you will see how Jesus began to prepare them, as I said a moment ago, for their ministry. He began to say, I'm not going to be with you any longer. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If any man is in me, he's going to bear much fruit. He said in chapter 17, I pray for them that in the same way, Father, that I know you, that they will know you. I and you and you and me and them and us and them. And it's kind of an odd way to talk about somebody who's going to lead a movement. Well, he wasn't going to lead a movement. You were. Amen? He wasn't going to lead. He was going to lead it from your heart. He was going to lead it from an indwelling position on the inside of you. This is all brand new to those guys. I mean, God would meet with Moses on top of a mountain and give him laws. He would meet with one guy out of 10, out of 20,000, call him a prophet. But now, he's going to, as Joel said, he's going to be in every one of you. So we have to understand that the Holy Spirit and the living God has had a plan all along to indwell his people, individually, personally. Amen? So again, and most of you are aware of that, have been in on this, is the fact that the Holy Spirit, the living God, comes and he dwells on the inside of you. He talks to you. He leads you. He guides you. And you are a representative. You are Jesus to your five people that you know. If you only know five people, you're Jesus to them. If you know 20, you're Jesus to them. You don't know how many other people may be in the room who may know Jesus. All you know is what you're assigned to do. Amen? I mean, don't look for somebody else to take your job. I mean, let Jesus be Jesus in you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now he says, verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so, in the same way, send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, 50 days later, this is the first day he was risen again. So he's with them for 40 days, and then 10 more days before they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's this? He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The Scripture says that the Spirit of God is to you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It also talks about the Spirit being a river of water, living water, flowing out of the innermost parts of the belly. So what's the difference between a spring and a river? P-O-W-E-R, isn't it? The difference is power. The difference between is the amount of power behind a river is much more than behind a spring. Spring is kind of... And he talks about it, that the Spirit in you is a river of water, is a spring, springing up, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I believe these guys were born again that night. I believe these guys were born again that night. Those who were with him, in the presence of the Lord. And it was open and it was free to everyone because the blood of Jesus had already been delivered to the Father. The blood of Jesus had already been sprinkled on the altar. And it's done. So therefore, anyone who putting hope and faith in Jesus Christ as of that night, that day, that morning, was born from above, and the Holy Spirit, the living Spirit of God, came and indwelt them. And that this, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If he said it, didn't he? Do you think they did? If Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and he was depositing it in you, unless you rejected it, he has imparted to you, had given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you. He is the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's the one Jesus was talking about in John 17, where I'm going to be in you, and you are going to be in me, and you, us and the Father, and all of us together as one. So the first night, he delivers to them living water. Living water. Hallelujah. He didn't wait 50 days. I mean, that night, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And verse 23 says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, if somebody receives that same Spirit and by the blood of Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven. If they reject that name, then they have rejected salvation. Doesn't mean eternally rejected it. I mean, you know, some people can reject and reject it. How many know people have rejected Jesus before? As long as they're still breathing, there's still opportunity. Amen? As long as they're still breathing, there's opportunity. You know, even if they cuss Jesus, he doesn't mind. As long as they're still breathing, there's still an opportunity for them to receive the Lord and to receive this Spirit. So whosoever sins you forget, for you forgive, they're forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain. In other words, you're just making a declaration. Well, you rejected him. It's like when when the apostles were preaching to him, they would they rejected the gospel. They kicked the dust of the city off of their feet and move on, because those people didn't receive the free gift. All right. Some people say, want to know, what does that mean? Whose sins you retain? They retain you. You're in your sins, brother. You have to remember that you're operating out of love. You're not operating out of, judgment. You are not a judge. Amen? You're one who delivers the good news. You're the one who delivers the good news, the love of Jesus. How many know Jesus is not about judgment and destruction? Jesus is about love and mercy. Amen? I mean, it's his blood, for crying out loud. I mean, he poured out his blood for you, for me. He poured out his blood. So he's not into judgment. Well, my blood wasn't good enough for you. Forget you. No, he's going to argue for you until the last possible moment. Whosoever sins you remit, you have forgiven, they're forgiven. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. And, you know, he said, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. And so he finally, Thomas shows up. And that's the second time he shows up. And Thomas says, unless I can put my hands in his side and my fingers in the, you know, we're pretty bold, you know, when we say stuff, you know. I mean, so I don't think he ever even got around to that part. You know, when he saw Jesus, he just fell down. He just fell down. My Lord and my God, Jesus. And Thomas answered to him. He showed up again. Oh, wait a minute. Let's look at verse 26. And after 8 days, so 8 days later, after the first night, after the resurrection night, 8 days later, second time he appears to them, 8 days, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came in, the doors being shut, same scenario, stood in the midst, said, peace be to you. And then he turned to Thomas and said, Thomas, reach here. Okay. Bring your finger over here. And behold my hands, and reach here in your hand and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. And then let's look at chapter 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again, third time. And it'll mention that, to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. And here's how it occurred. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, Thomas is there, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, John and James, and two of the other disciples. And Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. This has been a while. I think it's been a few weeks now since, you know, Jesus saw them, perhaps. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And then they went forth and entered into a ship immediately and that night, and they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he's good at that, apparently. They did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? He's hollering out there to them in the boat. And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And you will find. So Jesus tells them where to cast their net and they'll find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he took his fisher's coat about him, for I guess it's typical to be naked when you're fishing, as he was. So for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea, into the water. And the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, but dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring the fish which you have caught. But he's already got fish. You see that? He's got a fire of coals. He's got fish and bread already on the... Jesus, where'd you get the fish? He had some left over from the, you know, the feeding the 4,000, 5,000. And Jesus said, bring your other fish. You know, I've got fish, but you bring yours. It's real nice of him to include them, and they could bring the fish that they had caught, that he actually helped them catch. How many know Jesus helps you catch fish? Jesus helps you provide. He provides everything. Amen. You thought you did it, and he did it. He provides everything. I want you to relax, because he provides everything. I want you to relax. Especially if you're getting married next week, you know. Relax. I mean, you know, God, he provides everything. Find out from the outset. Janet and I found out from the outset that God provides everything. Because we didn't have anything. Amen. How many stupid people get married? Amen. Amen. You just have no sense at all when you get married sometimes. Yeah, especially when you're not even, you know, old enough. You know, you don't even know anything. You get married, you know, and say, God, what have I done? Help me. Praise the Lord. Smart people are dumb as dumb people. Amen. If you think he who thinks that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I think I'm doing okay. Don't even say that. Oh, you know, don't even say that. I mean, you remember the Jews said that, you know, and then here comes Babylon. You know, I think we're doing okay. I think you're not doing okay. Amen. Just wake up every day and, you know, understand that the only reason you're doing okay is because Jesus is on your side. Amen? Say, Jesus is on my side. He really is. No, he's on my side. You may look at me and think he's not on my side. That's okay. I choose to believe Jesus is on my side. He's for me. He's not against me. I'm never afraid. Even when I'm afraid, I'm never afraid. Amen? And I'm really not afraid. Much. Ever. Much. Amen? I'm really not. Much. And it doesn't last long. Amen? Anybody like that? Not afraid? Y'all afraid to raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't this great stuff? I mean, you know, I know y'all can read. Yeah, it's not like I don't think you can read, but it's for me to bring it to your attention. Amen? Mm-hmm. To bring it to your attention and show you some things that whatever the Lord is leading us to understand that Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. Not only the 3.5 years before he went, but in that 40 days while he was preparing to go, that 40 days while he was preparing to go to the Father, can you imagine? I mean, wouldn't you think he'd like to stay and see this thing through? I mean, after all, now he's got this, you know, super-duper body, and he could go to New York, you know. Of course, nothing there. You know, it's a Native Americans, you know. Some people think he did that, you know. It's not in the Scripture. He didn't do that. It's like some people think he healed birds, you know, when he was a little 10-year-old, you know. And the Bible says that's not true. No, really? No, he said the first miracle he did, he said in the Bible, first miracle he did was where? Making. See, that messes people up too. First miracle he did, he made wine. Man, just messes people's religion up so bad. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's get finished. All right. So bring your fish. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of the great fishes. 153. The Bible's great. How many fish? 153. And for all that there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Apparently 153 was an overload, you know, in fish engineering standards. And because, you know, John's writing the book, so he's kind of making these little caveats in here because he's a fisherman. And by golly, that net wasn't broken. That was just amazing to me, said John. And Jesus said to them, come, eat. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then comes and takes bread and gives it to them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is the third time that Jesus has showed himself to his disciples. So, again, it says the third time. So, again, the night of his resurrection, 8 days later, and then this time. So, it says the third time. So, apparently, I don't know where he's been for 3 weeks, you know, or 4 weeks. in between. Might have been the next week, I don't know, and then, you know, waiting for the rest of the 40 days. This is now the third time that Jesus, verse 14, showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when Peter had dined, or when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Not that Jonah. His dad was named Jonah. Do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said, verily, when I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would, wanted to. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not want to go. And this he spoke, signifying what death, that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Do you love me? He said. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I look at the scripture where the apostle writes of Jesus, feed the little ones. Feed the children. They're young men, and then they're adults. And Jesus has got three groups. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Is that there are always various levels of people to feed, to care for, to minister to. You're not going to say that you're not going to have the same thing for everybody. And I believe this may not be the only reason, but I believe this ties to that scripture of teaching the young, the strong, and the wise. You'll have multiple opportunities to teach and to share the gospel. And not only to just share the gospel, because he says, feed them. See, what Jesus was interested in is he knows you're going to have time with people to feed them. And that's what he's telling Peter. He says, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Is he talking about just food? No, of course not. Even though he's feeding them on the shore, having a little retreat out by the lake, providing them fish and bread. But he's teaching Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So not only are you birthing people into the kingdom of God, and then he says, follow me. How many know Jesus had that moment where they were going to carry him somewhere that he really didn't want to go? Father, if there's any way out of this, could we consider it? But nevertheless, not my will but yours. That's what he's saying to Peter. Follow me. Follow me. Not my will. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do things that are just not your first inclination. Amen? There are things, you know, the Lord asks you to do that are not your first inclination. But you find yourself going to do that, stepping out to do that. It's not something you would normally do, but the Lord is, it's because you have that indwelling Holy Spirit leading you to do what the Holy Spirit has given you to do. You will continue to do that until the day that Jesus comes. That's why he spent time with them these 40 days to tell them what was going to happen. He opened their, remember he said he opened their understanding, right? He opened their understanding. So he began to share with them what was happening and what was going to take place in their next, in the next period of time between the time that he left the earth and the time that he came again. And he promised that the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost was given, that this is for you and for your children and for all those who are the far off. And that includes who? Me. Includes you. So all of these gifts that were given at the time of the gospel and at the time of the Holy Ghost are for me today. They're not for later. They weren't for way back then and kind of dropped off in the middle or dropped off after the last disciple or dropped off after the last 120 dropped off. Right? Amen. I was wondering what happened to the rest of the 500 that rose from the dead when he got up from the grave and they all walked into town. What happened to the 500? And you only ended up 50 days later, it was only 120 left. Just a question. We just ask Jesus, you know, what happened to the 500? Follow me. Father, we just thank you today for this word. We thank you for the testimony of Jesus and testimony of the disciples. Testimony that we have of his ministry after his resurrection. We ask you, Lord, to manifest that ministry in us. The ministry that comes after the 10 days, after you left, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you today that you are transforming us and changing us daily because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are your vessels and we are your witnesses. And Father, that our joy is full and those things which come unto us to knock us down or to cause us to cry out, Lord, that we cry out knowing that you have already delivered us. There may be days that we are taken places that we had not intended to go in the name of the gospel. We may suffer things that we had not intended to suffer. But Father, we thank you that you have forgiven our sins and it's our ministry to declare the same to everyone we come to. So we thank you for the Holy Spirit and we thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we ask you, Lord, today to rise up on the inside of us. And we, as brothers and sisters, together in this local body, encourage one another unto love and to good works. To follow after you. To feed your sheep. And we just give you the thanks and the praise for it. Thank you for manifesting yourself among us. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.